This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan here on a victorious Cowboys Monday. Let's do this. Mike McCarthy's presser is coming up at 3:45. General at your service. There's Broadus, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive in his LSU garb. Once again, Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here at 75 and Fitzhugh. He's ready to go 5 hours flawless. Chiafalo's in the house. Woolchuck is in transit. He is making his way back from Pittsburgh, where he was to observe a rain-soaked field. See the Cowboys beat the Steelers in dramatic fashion. Gentlemen, welcome into the broadcast. How the hell are you?
Well, we've recovered, huh? Bounced back. Brought us, I'm sure, got 2 hours of sleep, was crunching the film. He's done 19 podcasts, and now he's doing a five-hour show that'll lead into another podcast before he goes to sleep, but two more podcasts before he goes to sleep, and yeah. We call that a victory Monday around here, boys. Feeling fantastic.
Crunched that film up, did you, Brian?
I did. Really interesting film to watch, especially with the Steelers. Some of the things that I always like to go back and make sure that they're things that we talked about during the week.
Yeah.
When we do our breakdown, you always
check it back in on it.
Yeah, you're asking me questions like, man, you're kind of countering me with this stuff. You know, you're thinking like this and that. And I love that, by the way, because it makes me think, it makes me, study it even more closely, because I want to make sure that when Eric and I get to the pregame show, and then last night we did the postgame show, that we've covered everything about how they could win this game.
And I had it dialed.
I think there were some things that we were really, really close on and dead on about. And that's the thing I enjoy going back and studying what you put into it. Did you get out of it in this football game?
Well, it played out a lot like Brian said it would last Wednesday and Thursday. Every Wednesday and Thursday in Krusty's Corner, he studies the opponent for you. Now, we do have the Mike McCarthy presser coming up at 3:45, so Brian's corner is going to float. It'll probably start there at 3:40, and Mike will start talking, and then we'll come back and do more of it there in the 4 o'clock segment. But Mike McCarthy disrespects our time savagely. It's amazing how important the schedule is to these coaches, and then when it comes to the media, they'll make up reasons to be late. Just because they don't respect us, and that's fine. They don't owe us that, but we get our payback when they struggle. But the good news today is they got the dub, and so far, some not horrible news on the injury front there with Marshawn Nyland. And what do we know about Tyler Guyton? Is he day-to-day, week-to-week?
Yeah, week-to-week right there. It didn't seem like that it was something that they were really worried about. So, yeah, we'll see how things, you've got the bye week this week coming after this week. So we'll see with the practice schedule and stuff. I imagine he'll be probably limited, and we'll see when he gets over with Britt Brown. But he was moving around pretty decently after the football game. But did a great job of moving bodies around. And then, and then TJ Bass coming in and playing very well for you.
How were you feeling going into that last play? Were you confident?
It's so funny. Broadus was asking us here, and like with a minute to go or maybe 90 seconds to go, he was like, do you think they're going to do it? And I was like, yeah, I think they're going to do it. I think Dak's going to make it happen. And then everything happens and you get down to that final play. And he asked me again. I'm like, no, I don't think it's going to happen. He just threw the ball at his wide receiver's nuts. They don't know what's going on right now. So I was just expecting Pittsburgh to come up with one more play. But, of course, it was Dallas who rose to the occasion in that moment. They did every possible thing they could to lose that game. No one, it was like, who wants to lose this game more? Unfortunately, the Steelers did.
Yeah, it was, I did. I asked Eric, it's funny, I asked Tim Collins was sitting in here, and both of them were like, nah, this one's, they're not going to win this. Especially after the fumble.
What'd you think? Were you confident? You picked Cowboys, so you were hoping.
I was confident to a point. I didn't know. I was thinking, what's your best 2-point play here? I was hoping it wasn't going to be sprint right option or something like that. But when the fumble happened, I was thinking that the number one thing was don't leave them, even though it was Fields, I'm thinking don't leave them any time.
Thinking about that on first and second down. Yeah, by the time you get to fourth, I was like, oh my goodness, the red zone. Are you kidding me? Well, they can't score a touchdown in here.
Mike McCarthy even said it, that their analytics gave them, of course, a 50-50 on the play call and the 50-50 on the conversion. I mean, it wasn't anything that, you know, it looked like after the game, though, that McCarthy and Schottenheimer had an embrace, maybe that Schottie maybe clicked over and said, hey, run the... It was really a well-designed play with the drags and then also then making the Turpin clearing out the back, the, you know, giving you space. And I mean, and the most important thing was Tolbert getting into the end zone.
Right.
That's, you know, you could run that route short and get, you know, collision at the sticks or at the goal line and don't get at that thing in. You know, so good for him for getting the right depth coming all the way across.
He kind of got pushed out of the end zone and then had to, like, lean back as he kept running to make sure that he was going to be there.
Make sure he got there.
I thought it was remarkable as the game went on, like, CeeDee Lamb got quieter. What do you think's going on with him? And I don't know if Dak's looking for him. You know, in big moments, it's like, I'm going to go to Turpin. I'm going to go to Tolbert. What do you think?
Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I mean, we were wondering about this because it's kind of been the case throughout this season to this point. It's force him the ball early, and he had, I felt like, four catches in the first two drives of the game, and then he doesn't have his next reception until the last drive of the game. So it was, I mean, you go, it wasn't even just the second half. I don't even think he had a catch in the second quarter. It's like first quarter, get him the football. And then after that, of course, you got to give credit to the defense. I'm sure he was commanding a ton of coverage, and Broadus, you can allude to that after having seen all the film. But there was also at least one drop in there where it was third or fourth quarter, and it's like a 4-yard play, but he just doesn't catch the ball. That would have been, boom, right there. He would have had a catch. But you can tell there's like a concerted effort to get him the ball early, and then it's like they kind of lose focus of that.
Yeah, it just... It's funny because I went back and I did, but the metrics do tell stories about this. His routes by cushion, you know, how, you know, if they were playing off or on him, he ran 18 routes with 5 yards more, 5 yards or more of cushion. He was 3 of 5. He had 5 targets, 3 receptions for 32 yards. They had the interception. He was pressed. He ran 14 routes against press coverage, had 1 target, no receptions. And then what they call neutral, which is between 3 and 5 yards of cushion, he ran 10 routes. He had 2 receptions, 3 targets for 30 yards. So you could see that they pressed him 14 times. And he only had 1 target in that game.
Great things last year was it was like you couldn't game plan CD out of it. He was going to get 18 targets and all these catches, and his catch percentage was high. He was 5 of 9 yesterday. That's just low.
Go back, and if you go back and watch the 9 routes or the 9 targets he had, he was on the move 1 time.
Mm. Yeah, and last year they were moving him around
They did not move him, and they moved him 1 time on a route. So, you know, it might be the head coach is all about the stationary stuff, and, you know, and that's kind of affecting the way that he's playing a little bit.
It is like 4 coordinators in a row to prefer the stationary stuff with Dak, though. I think it's what the quarterback's capable of.
Yeah, but I think your offense took off last year when you started implementing more of that. And last night you saw some plays, like the second play of the game, and it's spanned forward. They're drawing it up for him, but he's in motion there. And at the snap, he's wide open down the sideline for a nice little chunk play. It was a nice design. Yeah. They used more motion last night than they probably have all season. I saw it was John Owning, the Cowboys' 10th in shift and motion rate for just this week. So 65% of their plays. Now, that's not necessarily just motion at the snap, which is the ones that you really like, and that's the play I'm talking about with span forward. But it does seem like they made a little bit more of an effort, just a little bit more of an effort to try and get guys on the move before the snap.
Yeah, you know, and I think any offense is going to be better when you do a lot of that. I just wonder if it's CD that's the bigger concern here. You know, maybe his focus, maybe his attitude just has not been in the right place since the playoff game consistently. And it's definitely something worth monitoring. I think the lip reading was fun last night. It's all, I think, positive and constructive, though. Was he just asking for jump balls? Was that the consensus there in the end?
Ball or subpar? Those were the two that, like, I could see. But I don't know which one was right.
You know, and I'm not making an excuse for Dak. I think Dak was trying to get a free play. If you watch how it broke down, the Steelers were late getting set up, and they were late getting a defensive tackle on the field. And the defensive Dallas was far enough down in the red zone area that the Steeler had to cross the had to cross the, you know, the Cowboys offense, and you see Dak, he notices it and he's clapping for the ball. I mean, he's clapping, and he's you know, you see him just violently clapping his hands, but the routes on the outside were like, you know, Lamb's route was nothing. Brooks was open, but his route was not like a, it was just like they were going up the field, that they were expecting something maybe going to the other side. Hmm. When you watch the play, you're going to, and I'll show you guys during the break, you can kind of tell me, but you can see Dak notices the Steelers are disorganized, and he's clapping, like, give me the ball, give me the ball, mm-hmm. give me the ball. Almost like
trying to get him the 12 men on the field.
Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers, that kind of like, they're not set. Let me go. Let's go. Let's go. And BB, a rookie center, you know, didn't. I mean, they get set. It looked like to me that Watt jumped early to get a jump, and then you have the interception. But I'll show you the play at the at the break, and I'll let you guys be the judge. It was really kind of one of those, why did he throw that ball? And, you know, it was really, Lamb wasn't even looking for the ball, and neither really was Brooks on the inside of that. Wasn't really looking for the ball.
That was a bad situation. Same way with on maybe the second drive when they should have challenged the Jalen Brooks spot.
He
hurries up. Yeah. Third and one, and you get the sack. It's like, is everybody on the same page here when you're trying to do something special at the line of scrimmage and go crazy up tempo? And I don't know. I guess that's probably on Dak as well. But yeah, that one was weird. I couldn't tell. Usually in a situation like that, I'm leaning that the quarterback was right. When your quarterback is the level of veteran quarterback that Dak is, you're assuming he was probably the one that was correct there. But it was hard to tell because CeeDee didn't look like he had any clue that the ball was going to be coming his way.
None at all.
All righty. A lot of other interesting angles from the game as we're off and running here with you on a victorious Cowboys Monday. Mike gave Dak the game ball despite his two picks. I mean, his numbers other than the interceptions were pretty good. I'd say my biggest concern was he just wasn't inspiring confidence there late in the fourth quarter. I look for poise. I look for composure. I didn't see a lot of that. I guess he is fifth since he got into the league in fourth quarter and overtime game-winning drives. But this was the latest that he had thrown a touchdown to take the lead, and it was none too late, but definitely within inches of losing to, you know, a Steelers team. Even though you dominated them, like the first downs, the total yards, there were a lot of positive things the Cowboys put together, and we got to see Turpin get more involved. That was fun.
Yeah, that was one of the bigger notes for me, was getting him more involved, the way they use him, especially on early downs. He was basically an extension of their run game. Hey, we don't just have to hand it off every time, and I thought they did a nice job throughout the first portion of this game, and really a lot throughout, but once they got the running game going a little bit, they started leaning on it some more, but it felt like they did a nice job throwing the ball on early downs and getting the ball out quickly to Turpin. And it feels like that's an easy 5-6 yards every time. Not on the handoff reverse play. That was a disaster. But just throwing him the ball quickly on the move. Dak was accurate on those passes. It's an easy boom. First and 10 becomes second and 5 or second and 4 like every time. Yeah. And then the great play down the seam, chunk play. But yeah, that was a real positive last night.
They had a lot of second and short. It was cool to see, and it was reflected. I mean, their third down efficiency was through the roof. Their total first downs was good. So maybe progress for the Cowboys, and they need it as they get set now to host the Detroit Lions. No doubt story of the weekend. One of the most shocking upsets in college football history went down. Vandy over number one ranked Bama, 40-35. Unbelievable, Brian.
Yeah, that game was a lot of fun to watch through the and it got down to the final. I mean, Vandy gives up a touchdown to get the game close, and there's like 2 minutes and 50-something seconds left, and Vandy runs a play where it's just like a give up into the line, and you're thinking, please don't do this. You have a chance to knock number one off. And then, you know, then Clark Lee, the coach, they went aggressive. They got back to what they started throwing the ball. They got some really good rushes out of it where Alabama didn't tackle pretty well. And to Vanderbilt's credit, they killed the last 2 minutes and 50 seconds of that football game
and
took that thing home when they could have very well run the ball three times in the line and then punted and then watched Alabama just drive the ball and go win the game.
That's 100% expected.
Yeah, that's what we were all expecting. And it's like, oh my gosh, Alabama can't get off the field. Yeah. Everyone in the building knows Vanderbilt's just trying to run this thing out, and you cannot stop
them. They had a couple of passes that they threw, and their quarterback was clutch. This kid is a transfer from New Mexico State, so it's not like a powerhouse place. But what his situation was, I think this was his fourth victory where they were 21 or more points of a dog. And he's won four of those games when being a dog of 21 or more points.
Yeah, this dude's got a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. He's a total alpha. We'll get down to him a little bit later, but he was New Mexico State's quarterback last year. He was the one that actually was accused of urinating on the rivals New Mexico's logo when they had to practice at their facility. He just went ahead and just took a leak right on it. It was pretty ridiculous. They got him out of town, and now he's getting victories and a historical one for Vanderbilt.
College football, Darty coming up. We'll have more on that at 4:40. Sark was talking about Quinn Ewers today. He says, if he was how he was today, I feel good about him starting on Saturday. Mavs preseason opens tonight, so a lot of guys out, but it'll be cool to have some hoop on. We're coming back. The G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. G-Bag Survivor, where it went wrong for the fourth time in 5 weeks. That's next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. 682 says, the best part about the Cowboys win, it shows I'm right about Micah. He's overrated, and they're stupid if they sign him to a $30 million contract. I don't know. It was one game. I'm sure Brian's going to have a lot more on the film coming up at 3:40, Krusty's Corner. What do you think about that idea, Brian?
If he and Tank would have played in that game, the Steelers would have been in real trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the pass rush stuff and all that, you know, they got guys like, you know, with Wheat and Golston.
Right.
I mean, those guys were able to generate. The Steelers went into this game, really, their offensive line, it was a problem.
Yeah.
The guard, the center.
It's been one of the most anemic offenses overall.
The tackles, I mean, the quarterback, they had a lot of problems. If Micah and Tank would have played yesterday, that would have been even a bigger problem for the Steelers.
Is there anything to maybe a guy like a Golston or a Wheat are going to be more gap sound and fundamental in their approach?
That was the thing. That was one of the reasons why that, you know, when you – you know, we had this discussion, I believe, on Friday about, you know, these guys and the discipline that they play with, and, you know, with Golston. And, you know, Golston did a really good job not only playing edge, but playing some defensive tackle, and then, you know, moving Nealon around the way that they do him. He's just a really smart guy, and he was just getting the hang of rushing the passer and all. It's unfortunate that he has the knee injury and be out for 6 weeks. But, yeah, you know, you get guys sometimes, young guys are – you know, they want to do what the coach tells them to do. And then, you know, maybe you have a guy like a Tank or a Micah that's like plays a little bit more on feel. You know, like, okay, it's third and one. I'm just going to fly down inside here and try and.
The try-hard dude's got to do what the coach says.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. That was this thing I was telling you about the other day with, you know, when Sean Payton was telling me about Dak in his rookie year that Dak would. You know, he goes, gosh, I admire this so much.
Because he ran all the plays.
He ran all the plays.
Did that for like 3 years.
Didn't check the plays. You know, don't check the plays. Just do everything. They just show a replay of that hit that Wheat had on Fields. I challenge anybody. I mean, that thing looked like shoulder, maybe the side of the helmet into the. But, you I mean, he catches it perfect, and the officials are, that's just right in the chest.
Yeah.
That's a football play.
Yeah, I think sometimes they over-officiate that just to send the message to protect the quarterback a little bit more.
Well, he is at that point. He's outside the pocket. Then he goes back inside the pocket.
Yeah, I think they're saying he's defenseless because he had just thrown it.
Yeah.
And they're asking a guy to pull up a little bit there. I don't know. That's not letting a guy play football. But they're not trying to do what's fair.
Well, there was a bad targeting call that didn't happen in the Cal-Miami game. That looked like targeting to me that changed that game. That whole thing with Miami at ACC being what, top eight right
now?
Yeah,
2 weeks in a row, Miami got a bailout call, it feels like, at the end of a game.
Got to keep an eye on that kind of stuff.
Playing favorites with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm feeling targeted in our G-Bag Survivor, and for the fourth time in the first 5 weeks of the football season, I picked a clear near-touchdown favorite and lost. It's unbelievable. I picked against the Giants twice and lost. I picked against the Panthers once and lost. It's unreal. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or loved ones hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Wolchuk lost as well because he was on the Seahawks against the Giants. How'd you guys do? You guys both won?
Commanders. Yeah, we got out unscathed. Broadus had the Commanders. They ran away with victory over the Cleveland Browns. I had the London game for breakfast. I was stressing out whether or not the Vikings would pull it out. They were up early. It was great. And then it was a tight one there at the end with the Jets having a chance to win it. But Stephon Gilmore comes up with the big interception there late in the game to put a smile on my face. So, yeah, you and Wolchuk are the only two survivor losers this weekend being on the Seahawks, which was, I would have been on them too if I hadn't already burned the Seahawks earlier in the season. The thing that we forgot to really understand was you had the Seahawks on a short week Monday night, and you had the Giants with extra days of rest and prepare.
But
because
no,
they played Thursday
no
night.
Neighbors?
But no neighbor. No, hey, listen, it's still ridiculous that the Giants won that game because they still had to go all the way to Seattle, play there. That's a tough place to play. And, like, in the first 5 minutes of the game, you give up a defensive touchdown that's like a 100-yard defensive touchdown going Seattle's way. You never end up winning that game. But some way, somehow, without Malik Neighbors, who we saw firsthand is basically their entire offense, they find a way to get it done.
Seattle's offense was pathetic. It's like, we can't play offensive football. The Giants' defense is too good for us.
That's right.
I tuned in the second quarter. This is how bad it's going for me. And I looked at the scoreboard. It was 7-7. I thought, no way I win this. This is another bet payoff in the making for me right here. I've seen this way too many times now to think about it any other way. You know, some of us play blackjack, right? The game 21. Have you ever been on such a bad run that every time you look at your cards, it doesn't matter what you have. If you have 21, the dealer's going to get 21 too and tie you, right? Yeah. Oh, I have 20 and the dealer has a 13. Perfect. Oh, but that's an 8 now. Oh, the dealer wins. And this, you know, happens to you like an inordinate amount of times over the course of an hour, you know, and it cleans you out. And you're walking away from the blackjack table like, what are the mathematical odds of all that crap happening at the same time to come together? The universe must be against me. That's the way I'm feeling right now in G-Bag Survivor, guys.
Yeah, I totally get it, dude. This is nightmare stuff. This is not easy. This is as insane of a football season. I mean, my goodness, one of the teams I was thinking about picking over the weekend was Niners over Cardinals at home for the Niners. But you end up getting a Cardinals victory there. It's just, you're every time you turn around, it is, oh no, I don't know anything about the sport that I'm watching.
Well, it's, you know, the Giants had the ball almost 15 more minutes than the Seahawks in this game.
It was like 22-8 in the first half.
Crazy how they just kept it, you know, kept the ball away from Seattle, and that's what they had to do in order to win this game.
9-7-2, teams get slaughtered the week after playing Detroit. That's something to look at, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good thing we got a bye after facing Detroit.
I mean, when you get your kneecap bit off, you're going to need a couple of times,
a couple of weeks to recover. There used to be a time when you played the Steelers. They were a team that the next week you were guaranteed to lose.
The Niners had a good run like over the last two seasons where teams, after playing the Niners, just couldn't find a victory the next week.
817 says, what I'm hearing is we need Gavin to bet in favor of the rest of the NFC so we win the division and make it to the NFC championship game. I'm willing to do that. You know, I could see picking against the Cowboys quite often and being wrong. I was wrong on that as well. I did take the Steelers 23-20. I thought it was going to be right there late, which I did not want. You know, trust me, we want the Cowboys to be heading for the playoffs and above 500 and, you know, as good as possible. I didn't think the Cowboys were even good enough to beat the Steelers. Now, I don't know. We're about to find out with back-to-back good games, and San Francisco should be getting healthy. Saints and Chiefs tonight at Arrowhead. Did we overrate New Orleans coming out of week two? I think we did. And now
they've had a couple of tough losses, though. They lost that game to Philadelphia on that.
Couldn't score.
That loose run. Yeah, they couldn't score on that, you know, the big run from Barkley that got the Eagles down into field goal, to touchdown range and put that game away. And then they lost at a 58-yard field goal against Atlanta. Atlanta might be a better team.
Yeah.
They're on the schedule too.
What a week five Sunday in the NFL. We'll talk more about it coming up at 3 o'clock. Chief will deliver your NFL news of the day. Now it's time to go into the Pimp Cup. Here's LA, your tea bag of the day.
When we last left off, Cartnarks was our winner of G-Bag of the Day. This will be day two Day two, there was a couple caught outside of Costco leaving their cart in the disabled walkway.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The lady says she is disabled, therefore she should be able to leave the cart in the disabled walkway with no regard for anybody else.
No, that's not right.
But her husband is an able-bodied man. Should have put the cart up. Yeah. Cart narc caught him, and chaos ensued.
Good. Well, less good now. I'm less good now that part of the disability walkway is blocked.
Well, if they would have carts for the disabled people around here, we wouldn't have that problem, would we?
Oh, they do. There's all kinds. But anyway, the cart returns. Where? Inside.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a magnet for you, sir.
Car,
now, sir, why'd you throw that at me? Because you left your cart out blocking the walkway for the disabled?
Stop your
Well, man, that's what I asked you guys to do, but much more nicely.
Stop.
That's what I asked for you guys to do.
I'm going
to
call the police on you.
For what?
For touching my car.
And is that against the law?
It's against the law for what you're doing. Now leave me alone. I'm a disabled person.
But how about your husband, though?
I don't care. Leave me alone, you dick.
What law was broken?
My car.
Why were you doing that, such a thing? Ma'am, person.
Shut your mouth.
Why can't we have a conversation?
Just shut your mouth.
Because you don't want to. Because you know if we have a conversation, you'll lose. That's why.
That's why.
That's why. Why.
Yeah. Genius.
Got him.
Two for one right there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Did he throw the magnet at the cart knock?
Sure did.
Did he just spun
it right back at him? Like a frisbee. Take this back, buddy. All right, let's go to Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward.
Oh.
A lot of on-the-field interviews right here for G-Bag of the Day. We got an on-the-field interview with SportsCenter, by the way. After the Hurricanes beat Cal, Cam Ward is talking like it's just you and me. Miami quarterback Cam Ward joining us now on SportsCenter. Cam, how did you keep your team believing when you went down 25 in the second half on the road?
I mean, you just got to keep playing football.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, hey, just got to keep playing football. I mean, at the end of the day, Coach Dawson told me straight up, he said, this is how Tom Brady made his money in the league.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tom Brady made his money.
Just cussing and fussing all on the microphones. Boy, I tell you what, no regard for the microphones anymore.
It's like, did you have the headset on?
You're like, what else? Come on, bro. Help me out.
Have some quarterback awareness in the pocket.
Yeah, man, help me out. See what we got. Hey.
Pat McAfee's taking it.
That's
a good point. Expectations.
Yeah. It's the Pat Max. It's the podcast. There's no respect for the microphone anymore. People just say whatever they want to say on it.
Sure.
Yep.
Let's see what else we got right here. A dream. Vanderbilt quarterback.
Oh, yeah. This was a good one.
All right. Vanderbilt quarterback. They beat Bama on the field interview with Diego
Pavia?
Pavia,
yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah.
Diego, you just beat the number one team in the country. What's going through your mind right now?
It's literally all God's timing, literally from the jump. God gave me a vision when I was a little kid, and he don't let that any promises. It's God's timeline. I'm super thankful. Super thankful for guys like Eli Stowers. Man, that kid's incredible. The ref bar team, look at this. Look at this. Daddy, we're f***ing turned.
Diego, what were you saying to your team to finish this game?
Games like this change your life, you know what I mean?
Thank God and start cussing.
Yeah, man, I should have, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing before I said that one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see what else we got here. Well, speaking of, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike, this is real quick right here. She's calling on the name of the Lord, which you should do in church, but why does she scream into the microphone?
Of your presence, we need an outpouring of your love. Jesus! Jesus! Come by here.
Wow.
What?
Serious. Passion.
Jesus! Yeah. Jesus!
Like Jesus is upstairs. Come down there real quick.
Why?
It's urgent.
Yeah,
it's urgent.
Why?
That's like when you're like on the 10th time, you know, of calling someone's name.
Yeah, I said it. Oh, yeah. How about this one? Praise team. Shout out to the praise team at church. Guitar player got lost.
flashback to the 80s.
I was about to say, I thought I was watching an 80s show like Airwolf or something like that.
Let's see. And let's go to Cowboys. Oh, lineman. North Crowley, stand up. A Tulsa Hurricane right here. Post-game comments after the Cowboys win. Tell me you know who this is.
Bro, I mean, it was miraculous. I mean, JT literally sprained his f***ing nuts. Excuse me, sorry, bro. Sprained his nuts the play before, comes back, makes the game winner. Unbelievable. Extended play. I mean, that's guys playing above a 2.3. Dudes emptying the clip. I mean, it was great stuff.
Who was that, gentlemen?
That was Tyler Smith.
Yes,
Tyler
Smith.
What love that dude.
Yes, it is.
I love that. So he says he sprained his bleeping nuts, and then he apologized for saying it, but he was really just apologizing for the F word that he dropped because he followed up with, again, he sprained his nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that medical report right there.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
We're watching in real time, and they didn't show any replays of that play.
Eric was losing his mind.
They kept showing the replay of the play before, which was the Dowdle fumble at the goal line that almost lost the game. And that's how I felt. I felt like that lady there. I'm like, where's the replay? I couldn't tell if, like, did Dak miss him? Did he throw it at his feet? Yeah. But then he clearly looked like a guy who just got racked. So I'm like,
skipped it in
what
there,
happened?
Yeah,
I'd never heard of having a sprained. You know, I've heard of getting kicked in them. I've heard of a testicular torsion, which sounds horrifying, by the way.
The twisty situation.
I want to. That's how you know Tolbert's a guy you can pull for. Before they called a timeout, he was trying his damnedest. He was going to play through that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3 minutes later, that hasn't subsided. Guy makes the game-winning play.
No, at that point, he had so much pain in his right rib that I'm surprised he was going to be able to do anything. Because isn't that how it usually goes? You get right, and then before you know it, it's like, gosh, what is going on with my stomach?
Everything's hurting.
You feel like throwing up.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Is it our champ, the Cartnarks? One-time champ looking for two. Is it Miami's Cam Ward on SportsCenter? How'd you keep him believing? Vandy quarterback Diego Pavia. Dude, he had like championship energy.
Yeah, he did.
I hope they enjoy this moment. Yeah, the lady calling for Jesus, which could definitely be an all-time drop. The praise team guitarist or the Cowboys offensive lineman Tyler Smith. That's my vote, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, samesies.
Oh, let's see. What was I? The Vanderbilt quarterback that beat Bama.
Jesus!
Jesus! Brian?
I'm going to go with Cartnarks.
By a score of 2-1. And your new G-Back of the Day champion, it's Arlington's Tyler Smith. They're getting done for the Cowboys. And it's a hell of a post-game interview, midweek interview. He's one of the best interviews they got out there. And a salute to him for, I believe, making G-Bag of the Day for the first time. All right, Chief, best of the weekend coming up. What's in store?
We got a bucket list invitation, football celebrations gone wrong, and a football experience for the ages next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Congrats to the Cowboys for getting the big win. We'll have more Cowboys content coming up. Cowboys Twitter at 3:20. And perhaps some right here as Eric Chiafalo gives you the best of the weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. One heck of a weekend it was, and it's a victory Monday right now, which makes everything feel good. I got the invite for the ages this weekend that I was really excited to receive the text from Wolchuk yesterday.
White party.
He asked me, no, there is no, it's not a white party, but it's actually, I can do you one better. Apparently, Wolchuk is going to be a guest judge for a chili cook-off.
Nice.
At Dallas Academy.
Yes.
Saturday morning, November the 9th. And he asked me to join him as a guest judger for the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never gotten to be a judger for any type of cook-off situation.
I'm glad you're doing this.
I'm very, very excited about this. Chili, I'm so in on this.
I'm excited for you. I've done this once. My only advice would be take it very seriously. You know, if there's a number of booths to get to, not to overeat early.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, you overdo it on the front end.
Oh,
yeah.
it gets bad. It gets torturous towards the end. Like, oh my goodness, I got to eat more.
Oh, okay. Yeah, by the end, you're kind of like hating it that you have to continue
to
do it.
That could really add up on you.
You're just totally misevaluating who you just said that to.
Well, I know, but I know confidence could play a key role with him. And I know there is a finish. There is an end point.
He will not stop. He will not stop.
Of course he won't.
He won't take it easy.
Yeah. But that can make for a long Saturday night.
Yeah. You don't care.
Yeah.
You really don't. You're going to eat every bowl of chili that's that.
How many chilies do you think I could expect to taste that day? And if we're talking a chili cook-off, you're thinking
I think 40 chilies, man.
I
think it's like individual spoons of it, right? He's not like eating a whole.
Well, they'll give you like a quarter bowl. Like, oh, there hey, here, welcome to our booth. Yeah. Boom. Next thing you know, you've eaten four bowls. Right. And you're a third of the way through the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a marathon.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing this because you know how this started out, right? This chili cook-offs? Yeah. The chili judging that you're a part of. This started off with Jarrett Sandler.
Has this baton been passed? And kicked.
It was kicked down the aisle to me.
So I am last on the list. It's like, we know he's a guaranteed yes.
And then it turned into Zach Wolchuk and you. So yeah, no, they've got the two best dudes. I mean, me and Jared doing it was not going to be, that's no fun for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, but they got like fun dudes doing it.
I tell you what, man, I'm super excited about this. Palate cleanser, is that just going to be a saltine between bites or
Dos Equis or Miller Lite?
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
877-881-1053. If you could be a judge in any type of cook-off, what would you want it to be? Because I'm doing the chili one. I think that's really the place I would like to start there. I think like the wing off or whatever.
Steak?
Would be cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be hating on a steak off. But in the fall, it's football weather. It's chili time. This is the season. Now, it's going to be tough because I'm cool with a bean in my chili. And I don't know how a lot of people are going to feel about that.
Are you going to downgrade people because of that?
If they don't have the bean in there?
Yeah,
I don't
and
think.
Then are you going to upsell the ones that have beans?
That's you're going to flick the beans out of there?
I'm not going to flick those beans. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to eat every last one of them. And I do think that I will probably have a little bit more bias towards the ones with the beans in there. But I'm only expecting less than 10% probably of these different chilies to have beans in.
I wonder if they're
going to
have categories with or without beans. They might have separate categories.
Okay. Well, I'll sign up for the bean category.
Now, I like that. I would think wing or ribs. You know, chilies is good. I would be nervous because I know people like to go with big chunks of tomato and onions. So I'd be up there like looking to judge and picking stuff out. And they tell me it's not the same without it.
Right. Yeah, you don't get the full experience unless you have that entire onion in your mouth, but you don't want
Welcome
that.
Welcome to the World Bland Contest. I'm your judge, Gavin Dawson.
I like my food seasoned. You know, I don't depend on onions to add seasoning, Broadus.
Oh, this is some bland chili. I really like it.
Yeah. Is Hagee hosting that event that night?
Did you see
MC?
The World Bland Chili Cook-Off? And it's just like Hagee being the judge would be hilarious.
A lot of people want to do the taco cook-off. They want to be the judge for that. A lot of brisket as well. A lot of people want to be the brisket judgers. I could totally understand that.
I wonder if anybody in the audience, though, has the sort of brisket reaction that I know you do, Chief, and I do.
Yes.
If I eat more than like one serving of brisket, does it start to...
Especially if like it's on the fattier.
Well, yeah.
But see,
I get a little nauseous.
I've known working with you now the last 5 years that if you get a piece of brisket that's not smoked or salted the right way, you will immediately downgrade it.
I won't. I probably won't.
You're
like,
oh,
yeah, it's not worth it.
This thing's got no bark on it. Bah, you know, that kind of thing.
It's all about that bark, man.
If I find a good brisket that is amazing and it's perfect, it's salted, I know in about 45 minutes I'm going to feel nauseous.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna overeat on it.
Yeah,
ain't no bark, ain't no bite, ain't that right?
That's right.
All right. So, how about the celebrations in football? I didn't get the memo that it was gonna be gun violence celebrations throughout all of the football weekend. It started on Saturday with the college stuff, and then it bled into our football Sunday yesterday in Jacksonville as well.
Oh, they did it.
Everybody's doing the sword.
Everybody's going to the sword.
I love the sword. The samurai move, I think, is one of the sickest celebrations you can do.
My guy, I told you my guy at Minnesota, like, lifted up his jersey like he was showing you, like,
I got a strap in my waistline.
The back judge goes, no.
He got flagged
for it. He got flagged. Like, he makes a play, and all of a sudden he lifts his jersey. He's kind of showing his buddies, and the refs knew exactly what he was doing. And they're like, no, no, you can't do that. It's a 15-yard unsportsmanlike.
Was that at Miami?
They were playing USC.
Yeah, that was Minnesota-USC.
Minnesota-USC.
Yeah, no, but I think the most egregious one was the South Carolina player, the Gamecock pass rusher.
He went off like he had
with a sack celebration where he went around the guy.
The
quarterback's still on the ground, and while the quarterback's on the ground, this dude's acting like he has an AR-15 and he is shooting him. And I don't think they flagged him for that one. And I was wondering, maybe he was telling him, like, no, this is just my water gun super soaker bit. This isn't a real gun that I'm doing.
I like
here.
The one where it looks like they open up their duster coat and they got like a shot. Gun on a long sling and they pull it up from their hip. You know, there's a lot of good coordination going on here. I would green light all of it.
I'm with you.
Are we against the Second Amendment or for it? What I would ask.
What about the
one of those was
slash,
a bit capital murderish.
What are you looking at with
it
the
could
throat
be in
slash.
Self-defense?
Throat slash. What about that one?
Could be in self-defense. Okay. You know, you're
the football. Gun, the
you're
gun assuming, or the throat slash. Which
you're assuming
going
the
for?
Crime. You know what country we live in.
What? Which one are you going for there?
We kill a lot of people, man.
We do.
You know?
Yeah, we do.
We celebrate it every 4th of July.
I was here for it. I just wasn't. I just didn't get that particular memo that sack and touchdown celebrations were going to involve a lot of firearms. This way. Imaginary firearms for sure, yeah. But wasn't really. Wasn't really anticipating that. We did make history over the weekend in the NBA with the preseason. I can't believe it's already preseason action, and the Mavericks play tonight. They're going to be playing nobody of note, so that's something to monitor. But LeBron and Bronny sharing the court for the first time. I don't know if you guys saw that, how emotional you got, a little preseason father-son moment there. But
he knows it might
happen.
Be the last time.
Did Bronny have a good game?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know. I do know he had a chase-down block, and he did have a dunk. So
that'll work.
At least two plays of note, but I didn't watch a single second.
I'm
listen,
sorry,
preseason basketball on a football Sunday, you're trying to have zero eyeballs on your entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm asking you right now.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. Don't be preseason basketballing up my football Sunday, because you're not going to get a single second out of me. But I did want to acknowledge the history being made there, even though it's pretty innocuous. And then Walchuk, man, he had a great weekend outside of Survivor, of course. And thank God for it. If he would have lost in Survivor and then also been rained on, delayed on, and then taken L to the Steelers last night at what should still be Heinz Field, I would feel terrible for him. But he did get the Primanti Bros sandwich. He went with the Pitts Burger, and it was in the wee hours of Saturday night into Sunday morning. And he said for bar food, for post-bar food, it was 10 out of 10.
Hey, nice.
Can I thank somebody real quick on the air?
How about it?
Christy Scales.
Oh, yeah.
For helping us in that hour and a half that we were on the air. She was standing down you could hear like the rain coming down, the thunder, the boom.
She was like one of those reporters that's on scene at torrential downpours, monsoons and stuff.
Jim Cantore, yeah, is what she was doing. And I just wanted, I know she's probably listening, but thank you for helping us out.
Christy's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought Jason Garrett did an amazing job on TV. Like, it was
I saw
him.
You tweet about that.
It was him. It was Chris Sims, and it was Maria and
Mira Taylor and who
one
was?
Other Harrison, Rodney Harrison. Okay, and they had to
kill. No, it was
Florida.
One of the McCorvies. It was one of the McCorvies.
You're right.
It was one of the McCorvies.
Hour and a half, and the longer it went,
McCorvie.
Is that his name?
McCorty.
McCorty.
It's okay. I love you so much.
The stronger the opinions got. And Jason's like kind of talking trash, and he's got like some New Jersey swagger about him. I was like, you know what? This dude could be a good talk show host.
This is shooting from the hip, off script, plan for it.
Right?
Just go smile and talk ball.
He picked
let
the
it
Steelers, though, didn't he?
He was holding that.
They all did except for Maria.
Maria, yeah, that's what I thought.
She was the lone wolf.
I didn't see the prediction.
Yeah, she was the only one. Everyone else picked the Steelers in this game.
Myself included. Against Brian's pick, Brian freaking nailed it.
He did, dude.
He should have told you.
His score was 20-16. It ends up being 20-17.
Wow. Okay. We got Krusty's Corner coming up in about 45 minutes. We got the NFL News of the Day coming up next. Chief, what's in store?
We made football history yesterday. The witching hour was unbelievable, and all the takeaways from a football Sunday next year in the nation.